Welcome to another life-changing message of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
It is an honor to be here today with you at Hungry for God. I remember how this church started. I told the minister, why don't you start your ministry? And the people who come with you on Mondays and so on, and you know what happened, if they're dedicated to you, if you're ministry, they will come. You get me teaching the people every night and they end up coming back. And so I endorse what he was doing, and I'm so proud of what is happening. And God has already blessed you. Amen? Do you know you're blessed already? Many people are hoping to be blessed. If you're hoping, you've missed the bus already and the train already. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says that ye are B-L-E-S-S-E-D, past tense, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now this is very important. Amen. Say, I am blessed bountifully, abundantly by my Father, God. Amen. And we sang some earlier on that we're the friend of God. You know something? You're the children of God, the son of God. It's one thing to be friend of God, but you're a child of God. The thousand times better. Amen. You are an heir of God. See, friends are not heirs. Family is. Amen. You're an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. I've been a Christian for over 36 years. But before that, I was a real dirty sinner. I told people in St. Vincent, well, up here, I was the worst sinner in St. Vincent. I did everything that was bad. Drink, smoke, run over and party, you just name it. Then I met my wife. And God used her character and her spirit to bring me to him. Because she prayed for me. And I used to say, what's she praying for? I don't want to be a Christian. I was having fun. I was having a ball. Amen. And skin was that. You know, I was having fun. And you know something, guys? There is a lot of I want to say happiness, maybe happiness in sin. Pleasures in sin. But it's short-lived. Amen. So when you see people having fun and going to another place, they're enjoying it. And we have to have something better than what they have to offer to them. And Jesus Christ is the answer. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this day which you have made. You ordained this day before we were born for us to come together to share your word and to understand who you are so that we can become transformed. Hallelujah. So that we can transform others. Because he who is transformed will transform others. We thank you, my God, for the pastor and the leadership and those, my God, who are actually running this ministry. I ask you to bless them bountifully. I come against the plans of the enemy today. Hallelujah. I bind every distraction and I release the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher, who's our instructor, to have his will today. We pray in Christ's name. Everybody says, amen. One thing I have to say to you, that when you come to church, get a pack of pens, dollar pen, a lovely pen is writing, you have to be a fancy pen, and get invested in a notebook, and take notes. Because what you hear today is very, very important. What you have been hearing is important. But if you don't make notes by tomorrow, you forgot 90% of what you heard. And that's not good. Amen? Because it is the truth that you hear shall set you free. When I became a Christian, I invested in one of those old cassette tape player. And when I went to church on Sunday morning, Doc and said, Martin, I recorded the message. And during the week, I played it over and over and over. Because faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. And so today, what's your name, young lady? Portia. She actually introduces the topic. Because my topic today is understanding the power of the spoken word. Understanding the power of the spoken words. There's nothing more powerful in this world than the word of God. Nothing. Alright? And you will have what you say. So let's look at Mark the 11th chapter. And everybody should know that by now. Mark 11, 22. Look at from 20 to 24. And it reads thus, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It says, in the morning, when they were passing along, they noticed that the fig tree was withered completely away to its root. And Peter remembered and said to him, referring to Jesus, Master, look, the fig tree which you doomed has withered away. And Jesus replying said to him, or to them, have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whosoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt it at all in his heart, but believe that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, verse 24, I am telling you, whatever, and take note of the word, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. Again, the topic, understanding the power of the spoken word. In the book of Luke, there was a young lady whose name was Mary. And an angel went to her and told her that she was chosen by God to have a son. That was the most improbable and most impossible situation in the world at the time. I'm a virgin, I'm not married, and an angel sent from heaven to God told her that she's going to have a baby. And the story goes, and she used a word, and she told the angel, be it unto me, said to God, be it unto me according to your word. My faith looks up to you. May there be a performance of all that was spoken, for I know that nothing is impossible with you. Mary was not a college student or some big evangelist or prophetess. She was a girl, the Bible referred to as a girl, not a pastor. As a matter of fact, the priest dealt with God, Zacharias, all year on, and God had it done and closed his mouth. Why? Because words are powerful. Do you know your word can prevent God from working for you? You know how powerful words are? Your words can stunt, demoralize, and destroy you at the end of the day. You have to be careful what you say. Because Jesus Christ says that you will have what you say. In the 23rd verse, the word say is mentioned three times. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and do not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he or say, he or she says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. See, words are very important. Words are the currency of heaven. Words dominate this world. The word of God in Hebrews 1 says that the world is kept by the word of God's power. Amen? Words are very important. When Mary released those words, she put a principle in the power that changed the entire world. Because when Christ was born, the world's history was changed from BC to AD. How powerful that was. That simple statement. Remember, we come backwards when we come to BC, and then we come now from 1 to 2016. AD. So those words change the entire world. Be it unto me according to your word. So what Sister Portia said there, that's so powerful. See, you must, when you pray, believe you have it, and you shall have it. So the beliefs come before the shall have. So when I pray, usually, I have received everything I have wanted from God, except for Billy and St. Vincent, where I'm from. But when I pray, I normally make a fist, and my faith put the thing in my pocket. That means I have it. Because Christ said, when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. Some people wait until they have it to shout. You know? But everybody can shout like that. But it is when you receive by faith that is very important. How do we get faith? Faith cometh, which means it's not there. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Mary heard the word of God, and she turned an impossible situation into something that is possible. Now, we are here today serving who? Jesus Christ, because of the words that were spoken. Let's give Mary a round of applause. Give Mary, come on, give her a round of applause. Hallelujah. One's word can put them under, or can place you over. Your word can put you into a pit, or it can put you into a palace. Amen? Be careful what you say. Words, the Holy Ghost told me, I have never really preached this, but words are your friends. Words are your friends, and you must get acquainted with the word which is your friend, because he will help you when you really need some help. Because why? He's ever present. He's always with you. When your best friend can help you because the phone is not working properly, or the iPad or something, the battery is there, guess what happened? The word is there. Somebody give God some praise in this house. It's very, very important. Very simple. But I'm telling you, I look at the church and I see how our foreparents and our great-grandparents and our parents go to church for 20, 100 years and they have nothing to show for it. This generation can't be like that. Amen? Can't be like that. Has to change. And the change will begin with us. This is why you're hearing this message. Because we're change agents. See? God is transforming us so that we can become transformers. Hallelujah. See, when you're transformed, an educated person reaches back and brings somebody who's not educated and brings them up to a certain level. When I went to college, the first semester, it was so sweet and so, so different. And I had a good friend who was a plumber. And I told him, man, you need to come to college. And he's now a minister. I think he's a doctor. And he came to the same college. And when he graduated, he went to Harvard University and did a master's in theology. And he encountered somebody, and the person became a doctor and now has his own school. You know who started it? I started it. That's how God works. See, you understand? You change agents. Don't just waste any church. You're bigger than that. You're a son of God. You are a brother of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know who you are? You're a son of God, an heir of God. And joined heir with Christ. And I use this example a lot. There was a young lady whose name was Kate Middleton. She was a commoner, C-O-M-M-O-N-E-R, in England, she was a commoner. But she fell in love with a prince named Prince William and married to Prince William. Listen to this. Because of the marriage, she is next to Prince William to become the next queen of England by marriage, not even by birth. By marriage. And her whole status is changed. Not only her, but her entire family. So now, when her mom goes with her to the Queen's home, they all sat around the same table and have dinner together. All because she married to a prince. Now we are God's children. Come on, hold your head up, hold your back up, amen. And behave like a child of God. Hallelujah. But you must know the word of God. Let me tell you how important the word of God is. The wisest man who ever lived at the time was a man named King Solomon. And he wrote a book in the Proverbs. Let's turn to it. The 18th chapter. The 20th and 21st verses. Amen. Let's take our time. It's no rush. No hoop and hollering. I'm not against the hoop and hollering, but we need something better than that. Amen. We need to understand the power of the spoken words so that we learn to speak properly. And see what God says. Amen. At this point, I remind the church in Psalms 1. The word of God says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law. He loves the word of God. And in the word he doth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, always green, whose leaves shall not wither, who shall bring forth his fruit in his season, and whatever he does, doeth, shall prosper. You're the tree today. I'm the tree, I say it every day almost. Because when it seems like it's not working, I said, God, your word saying, I'm like a tree that is planted by the waters. Hallelujah. Whose leaves shall not wither. Who shall bring forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So Solomon, and then his father David, spoke about the word of God. So look at Proverbs 18:20. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. A man's belly, I love this, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be what? Satisfied, shall be filled. Is that how hard you work? Let me tell you something. If hard work would make people rich, slaves would be very rich. Our parents would be very rich. It is God's word and knowing what God says. You didn't have to work hard. Just confess, no sweat. Just believe God. Mary didn't sweat. She just speak the word. Be it unto me according to your word. My faith looks up to you. May there be a performance of all that God has spoken. Because I know nothing, hallelujah, is impossible with you. So you see, I put on your mouth and lips are, they make you full, they make you satisfied. They bless you or they curse you. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. Yes. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love life or death shall eat the fruit thereof. To your tongue. Isn't it the past that spiritually bring deliverance to you? Benny Hinn, T.D. Jakes, Pastor Simon, the preacher from Northern Day Blue. Your deliverance is in your own mouth. Man, I've been in conferences, that other stuff. But you go to a conference, join and come back, join. Thousands of people. A matter of fact, you cannot drive because it takes some money to go down there. Amen? So all the money you spend, there's nothing happen. When your deliverance is in your mouth. Hallelujah. There's a powerful, very powerful verse in the Bible, three verses. Romans 10, verses 8 to 10. Romans 10, verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved, thou shalt be delivered, thou shalt be set free. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto deliverance, unto safety, unto health, unto success. It's with the mouth. Oh, Jesus. Come on, lift your hand and worship the Lord today. And I sense the Holy Spirit in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, teacher. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. So I was a sinner, a wretched sinner, and I look at the wall and see something wrong with the wall. Nobody preached to me. Something was wrong. And one Sunday I went to church in a place called Anguilla. And they left us. And the guy said, what happened? I got this whole sermon. I said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And I said that prayer based upon Romans 8, 9 and 10. And those words were so powerful that it kept me going. Now when the Hebrews 4, 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Hallelujah. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Let's turn to Hebrews 12. Hallelujah. You don't mind the scripture, right? Amen. I want to give you the scriptures. You can make some notes and go home and study for yourself. All right. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews, let me find it first. 4:12. I have the third chapter. Sorry, guys. I have the third chapter. Hebrews 4:12. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, that is soul and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow of the deeper parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Do you know when you have the Word of God in you on a certain level, you can know what somebody's thinking? God's Word in you can reveal to somebody, can reveal what a person is thinking. Why? Because the other verse says that everything is, look at verse 13 as well. Can we focus on 12 a lot? Verse 13 says, and not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is why a prophet of God will come and give you a word, and it is precise and perfect. One night in Hungry for God, there was a young man there, and the Spirit of God told me, pray for him. So I said, young man, stand up. Is your family here? Yes, stand up. And I prayed for them, and the word was, God is moving you into leadership. Never seen a man before. Matter of fact, I didn't even know that happened. He came to our anniversary service, and he testified what happened. He was in his 30s. His pastor was young. So the pastor was not going to die anytime soon. Cut the long story short, his pastor died as a very young man in his 50s. And already was an assistant pastor. God took that young man and made him the pastor for the church. And I didn't know that happened. So I can't take any glory. You understand? But God's word in you can help you save and deliver people. This is why you must have the word of God in you. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly, speaking to yourself and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord. See, when the word of God is in you, it makes you happy. See, if you are confused and unhappy and so on, God's word is not in you. You know why? Because in his presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. And in writing, there are pleasures forevermore. And John, the first chapter, says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things was made by the Word, and there was nothing made that was made. Hallelujah. And in the 12th or 14th verse, I think the 14th verse says, and the Word became flesh, and what? Dwelt among them. That is the same word Mary spoke. See, that is so powerful, man. When you get home, read Luke. And because the 27th verse of Luke 1 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. There's nothing impossible. I think one of those sneakers, that one of the themes, one of the slams, in there's nothing impossible. I think it's Adidas. There's nothing impossible. Amen. If you're a believer, there is nothing impossible. And I like to testify to encourage people. When I came to this country, 1983, I came here with $600 in my pocket. That was to have paid for 2 months' rent. There was no food, there was no clothes, there was no milk, there was nothing in that. Then one time I was taking my son Nelvon, minister and Nelvon of Love Town, to school. I had the money to come back. And I said, I was in the bus, I said, God, you are obliged to take care of me. Can you believe that? And somebody said, who said that? And I said that. For every good father has an obligation to take care of his sons. Wow. I think that week is something I went to prayer breakfast, and they took up the offering, and they gave me every dime. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put the word of God to work for you. One earth, I went to Ohio. Not long after that, a three of us, and he had a weekend of services. We drove down the Friday night. The guy drove half the way, and he asked me to speak. I didn't even plan to speak. I spoke about the faith. They took up an offering, and the offering they gave to me was able to buy 5 or 6 winter coats for my family. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Did you think I'm joking? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can think or dream or desire. Hallelujah. Then I had the unction to say, all my bills are paid in full. No job, no green card, nothing like that. But you know what? God is God of the universe. And Joshua 1:3 says, every place that the sole of your feet tread upon, that belongs to you. God told Joshua. So I think about the scriptures. And I keep saying the word. I hear what you're going through. When you come out, speak in the word. Come out using the two-edged sword, the word of God. There's nothing that can stand before the word of God. Jesus Christ said, Jesus actually spoke to the fig tree. In Mark 11, I think the 14th verse, Jesus saw a fig tree and he went to the fig tree, hoping there was fruit in it. And there was no fruit in it. And he said, no man shall ever eat fruit of this tree anymore. And he left and went away. And in the morrow, the disciples returned on the same journey. And Peter observed that the fig tree was dried up from the root. And he said to Jesus, hey, Master, look, the fig tree because it's dried up. And Jesus Christ said to him, and this is what he actually meant in the original language, have the God kind of faith. Amen? The King James says, have faith in God. No, Jesus said to them, have the God kind of faith. And he explained what it means. He said, whosoever shall say. See, the God kind of faith says, speaks. Hallelujah. Romans 4:17. The word of God said, God calls us things which are be not as though they are. Romans 4:17. God calls those things which be not as though they are. And since we are God's children, we are supposed to behave and act like God. So we call those things which be not as though they are. And guess what happened? When you call things into being, things come. Hallelujah. It works. And I spent 30 years in New York, a little over 30 years, and never was unable to pay my bill. Never. Why? Because God says, I will supply a few of your needs, a part of your needs, all of your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whether Hillary Clinton is the president or Donald Trump is the president, doesn't matter. Whether Bloomberg or this one here, de Blasio is the mayor, doesn't matter. God supersedes everybody. That's your God. That's your God himself. Amen. Whew. Let me tell you how the word of God works. And God gave me this example. There's something known as active dry yeast. Anybody know what that is? You can bake. Can you imagine How does it mean active dry yeast? So if something dry can be active. And I observed as a little boy, when I went to buy yeast from my mother, active dry yeast. And if you get flour, and you get some active dry yeast, and you put some warm water into the dry yeast, that dry yeast takes on a different component and a different life. And it begins to expand and changes. And when you put that yeast that is watered now into the bread, into the flour, it changes the flour into something called dough. And it increases it. Hallelujah. You get the message? God's word in you is increasing you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands over heaven and worship him. I'm being increased. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I'm being expanded. My boundaries are expanded. I am moving things in the spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I'm going to be bigger. Hallelujah. And better and happier. Because of the Holy Spirit. So you get that dough, and you make some bread, and you put it in the oven. And half an hour afterwards, I mean, maybe you put some butter or something in it. I like peanut butter and jelly. Amen? I put some peanut butter and jelly in the thing. That was some basic flour and some basic yeast that come together to water and hold in this strength and transform. When you release the word of God, you don't see it, but it is transforming and changing and activating. So many things for you is unbelievable. Are you going to speak the word of God from now on? Hallelujah. Whoo, Jesus. So Solomon taught the word. Jesus taught the word. David taught the word. Paul taught the word. The word of God is amazing. Hallelujah. Let's look at Romans, the fourth chapter, please. Romans, the fourth chapter. This is a situation about a man whose name was Abraham. And this man was dead. His wife was worse than him. And he believed God. Can you imagine that? That's another impossible situation. The man is old and dead, and Sarah's womb was dried up. Impossible situation for man, but not for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. That was what she just did. Portia. Amen. She called something that was something that is non-existent as if it is existing. See, that's faith. The whole God works. Do you know the world that we see today? The world that we see was created by something that we didn't see. Let's look at the world again, young man. Hebrews 11 verse 3, I'm just touching on these things. You gotta bring a notebook, you gotta take notes, you gotta go for them. Because if it worked for Paul and Peter and everybody else worked for me, it will work for you as well. What do we see again? Is this the third chapter? Is this the third verse? Through faith, we understand that the world's plural were framed and formed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's a lot of powerful stuff there. Amen? In other words, this physical, natural world that we live in was not here one time. And then God, in Genesis 1, came and spoke. And God said, let there be light, and so on. And there was light. And whenever God wants something done, God speaks the word. So Genesis 1, God is speaking. Let fish come alive. In abundance. See, God is a God of abundance. Let trees and plants come alive. And it was so. And last week, Tuesday, I had a wonderful time. I took my granddaughter, Peyton, to school. And I was in over East New York, over East Flatbush. And I've never seen more beautiful flowers. All different colors of pink and red and blue and yellow and green. And I saw some manicured lawn, and they brought joy to my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to have money to have joy. You didn't have to live in a 516 area code. You don't have to be yourself and understand who you are. And I saw the different kind of trees and the way how they cut them and shape them. And I say, and I get joy again. And I say, hallelujah to God. And I just had a wonderful time in God's presence. God's presence. Amen. Don't postpone joy. See, we postpone joy, and we postpone peace, and we postpone everything until when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout in victory. I'm not against that, but you see me, I want to spend my coffee down here. Amen? I want to smell my flowers down here. Amen, somebody? Insist and be happy enough. You know what I said last week? Is that we come to church, a bunch of unhappy people, not you guys. All right? And we have visitors that come to church, and they see us unhappy, and they came unhappy, and they leave unhappy because they met unhappy people in church. Amen? That will happen to people. Whereas God tells us, Christ said that God, that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. Christ came to bring heaven and earth to us. We're trying to go to heaven to find heaven. When Christ came to bring heaven and earth to us. Amen. And I tell people, our home, when people come there, they don't want to leave. You know why I want to leave? Because it's a mini heaven. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's contentment and so forth. That is how our home is supposed to be. So then if our homes are like that, and then those people from those wonderful homes come to church, then church will be a little heaven. I mean, heaven, amen? I want people to come to church. Guess what happened? I want to stay here. I want to go home. When Christ was transfigured, when Peter saw him, Peter said, Lord, let us stay here. Let's make three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Amen? Because he was a different man. You understand, guys? Let us enjoy life today. No. It doesn't take so much money. It's a condition of the mind. There are people who are billionaires who are poorer than you. They're so poor they don't help anybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Hallelujah. 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 But worship Jesus. Lift your hands over heaven and worship him one more time. Hallelujah. 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 Do you know, as I close, do you know there will be more favor than Mary? Mary lived in the Old Testament. They didn't know what grace was. The Word of God said that grace and truth come to Jesus Christ. And do you know we have grace like Christ? The book of John says that in the 18th verse, we have grace. What's grace? Unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor. Mary was fortunate. She was chosen as one person to receive favor of God. But all of us in here, you and you and you and you and your children, full of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that makes a big difference. Let me close by saying this. Do you know that nobody was ever born poor after Christ, since Christ died? Because I just know how poor I was. Because I went to school and I couldn't afford to pay my bus fare. I never had any lunch in school sometimes. I went to high school in St. Louis. I dropped out in the last form. And I was super intelligent. You know, I had 5 skips in public school. You know what skip is? 5. Like, I don't know if anybody who had 5 skips in school. I was in the last class 4 years before I was supposed to be there. 4 years. And when I was like 11 years old, actually when I was 9, I should have read something called Common Entrance. I was so poor, they never sent me. I wasn't even called to go. And I seen people who are less intelligent than me, who had money, they are getting extra lessons. I could be teaching those people. Seriously. And when I thought that my educational career was coming to an end, I, as a young 14-year-old boy, went to a principal of a school. Think about this. A 14-year-old child is going to school, a high school, to talk to a principal, to tell him that I feel I had, God, I didn't say God, but I really want to do something with my life, and education was a way to help me. And the man told me to come to school. That doesn't happen. For you to go to high school, you have to do a test to pass. I never did a test. I was like David. When Samuel went to choose a king, David was not invited to the party. They invited all the other brothers. As Pastor Samuel said, Nervon said, maybe David was an outside child. Seriously. Because he was never there. So Samuel said, you show this to all the children? And he said, yes. And he said, well, no. And he said, well, you know, there's one named David. But he's in the field. He's not qualified. He's a sheep keeper. And Samuel said, you know what? Send for him. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to send for him, man. I want to send for him. The Holy Ghost says, this is the man. And God chose David to be the second king of Israel. And he messed up, but he was great. Because guess what happened? Later on, when Goliath was taunting and bullying God's people, guess what happened? David stepped out and kill Goliath. And there's a David in you. Hallelujah. There's a David in you. Hallelujah. There's a Jesus in you. Greater is he who is in you. Hallelujah. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And my last point is this. If you are born again, you are a world overcomer. You know how difficult it was to become born again? That was the hardest thing to do. Because you were in Satan's kingdom, you know. And it got hard you. You understand? And one day you decided, I have enough of this. Live for this stuff. How big Satan is. And you walked out, and he like this. You couldn't do nothing. You know Satan is defeated. that we are fighting against a defeated enemy. Our behavior is so crazy. I don't do this. I don't do that. You're fighting against a defeated enemy. Jesus said, let's turn to John 16:33. Let me close my notes. John 16:33. Amen. I'm a very happy person. I'm so happy that the other day, I said, Nelson, now that's me. How can you be so happy? What is it, John 16:33? I said, Nelson, how come you're so happy? And I began to wonder. And I talking to me and saying, there's something, Nelson. Now why are you so happy? Because Jesus said that he has gone to prepare a place for you. Amen? And he will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we will be also. Now this place is called heaven. So if you think you have a nice house down here, you have nothing. Amen? If you live in a house and you think it's nice, don't worry. You're going to a place that's called heaven. That's supposed to make you happy. That's why I was so happy. I'm a very happy man. I was born happy. When I was born, I was laughing. I was happy. And the nurse said, Nelson, why are you so happy and why are you all this pain? I said, I ain't know. She said, you know what? She gave me one cup. And I said, ah! Now I said, that didn't hurt. So that didn't hurt. And I got a big needle. She come and she gave me pie. Oh! From that, I'm still in injection, but I'm still happy. Amen. God wants us wealthy, healthy, and happy. Now, this is not a phrase. Say, neighbor, now point your finger and tell them seriously. God wants you happy, healthy, and wealthy. Hallelujah. Now, that is very serious. Because without wealth, you can help anybody. If you can't pay bills, how can you help somebody else when they have a problem? And we're in the church of God. Do you think the government is supposed to give people social security stuff? The church wants to take care of that. It's because we miss it that the government is doing that kind of stuff. We are supposed to be blessed, wealthy, above all this. John says, I wish above all things that he prosper and be in health, even as your what? Soul prospers. I'm not giving any empty story, I'm telling you, I'm giving you the Bible. Then if you're not happy, you can't be healthy. Because when you're unhappy, you're frustrated and you're stressful and you have bumps on your body and you can't do so much different things and you're sick and so on. You can't help anybody. And then if you're not happy, if you're not healthy, you can't be happy. So when you're wealthy and you're healthy, then you'll be happy. God wants you to be happy. Christ says, I'm come that you have life. And what? Life in abundance, overflowing. So I was saying to you, before I read this, I must say this. So God told me I was number one poor. So I said, help me, God. And the word of God said, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the 9th verse, says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was very, very, very rich, for your sake, he became very, very, very poor. So that you, through his poverty, can become what? Very, very, very rich. You see the exchange? What had happened? 2,060 years ago. You were never born poor, nor impoverished. You were ignorant to the fact that you were born rich. Amen? And the child of God. I want in fact to be in your mind today that you were born rich. And the enemy trying to keep you poor for his purpose. But when you're rich, you can help people. Amen. Last verse. John 16:33. John 16:33. The first time I read this, really, well, the first time it jumped at me, I couldn't believe it. I was in St. Vincent, I said, this can't be true. And I came to New York, and I read it, and it said the same thing. So I said, this has to be true. And I read it again, and it blew my mind. Listen to this, as we close. I have told you these things. Still, though you have a lot of trial and tribulation. I have told you these things so that in me, not in yourself, you may have perfect peace and confidence. This is why Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is hidden in me. Amen? Let's go down some more. In me, you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials, distress and frustration. Don't be surprised when the world has this kind of confusion. It is supposed to be in there. Christ said that. Sometimes people say, Pastor Simon, it will happen. So what is new? It's the world is supposed to happen. Look at this. He said, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. Be undaunted. Don't be ruffled, man. Hallelujah. Be undaunted. Listen to this. For I have overcome the world. Christ says, I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Man, Christ said, I have deprived the world of its power to harm you, and I have conquered the world for you. Come on, give Jesus a round of applause. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So when you understand the power of the spoken words, and this is an introduction, I spoke about 7 messages from this. Amen? This is just the middle. Listen to me. Give your words assignments. Amen. Words need assignments. Tell the word what you want it to do. Hallelujah. I gotta finish. Now, because this morning God told me, God told me, Nelson, every person, every product, every machinery, everything somebody makes has a manual, has instructions to tell you how to operate the machine. If not, you can hurt yourself. If you have a car, you can put diesel where you're supposed to put gas in and vice versa. Very, very important to read the manual. This Bible is your manual. Read it. Amen. And enjoy your time alone. God bless you. God keep you. God cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Give his peace. It's my pleasure to have served you. Hallelujah.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.